Okay, this morning, going to have a Bible study, not on Philippians. I mentioned a couple of months ago that I was wanting to do a study on the land, L-A-N-D, the land. And that's, I'd like to talk about that this morning. And in particular, comparing things that differ with us and those who those verses applied to in the Old Testament. Now in Philippians, Philippians 1:10, it talks about comparing the things that differ. And in Colossians 1:10, it talks about increasing in knowledge. In 2 Timothy 2:15, it talks about study, endeavor to show thyself approved, studying the Bible. Now, those who study the Bible get smarter, you might say. Their IQ goes up over time because they're more interested in life in general, and the Bible covers every subject imaginable under the sun. So things we weren't interested in when we were younger, we become interested in through Bible study. And this idea of loving the Lord is synonymous with loving the Word. Love, you see people, hey, there's this Bible study Wednesday night, you want to go? That's like saying, let's go get to know the Lord better. Let's learn more about the Lord. So that's what we're doing with these Bible studies. We're trying to get to know the Lord better by studying His Word. But with that, let's open up in a word of prayer. Our God and Father, thank you for this day and for this group of saints. And we pray that you'll use your word this morning and speak through me. May the Holy Spirit speak to our hearts. We pray in your great name. Amen. Okay, now, to start with here, I've got three points we're going to cover. Israel had an inheritance, and we have an inheritance. Israel had a possession. They were to go possess the land. That was their possession. Barney one time did a lesson on possessing our possessions. That would took maybe a dozen, I forget how many lessons that took. But he went through a lot of verses on our possessions and what we have. But Israel's possession was their identity with the land itself. They identified with the land. They weren't really a nation until they entered the land. And then we have promise. And I only have couple of verses there in the New Testament for promise because it takes on a little bit different meaning there. But let's start here with Psalms 37, and we're going to look at verses 1 through 11. Psalms 37. And it says, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Now this is a complicated psalm. If you look at the note there, it's not an easy one to understand. It takes a lot of study. It's amazing how much knowledge is known by commentators and so forth on the book of Psalms itself when you go back into antiquity with the different things that went on there. But one thing we can say, these letters of the alphabet. The first three I'll go into a little bit. Aleph, Beth, Gimel. Those are the first three letters of the Hebrew alphabet. See, in verse 1 there, it's got that symbol Aleph for the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet, of which there are 22 letters. Each letter has a number associated to it, which has to do with gematria. And each letter has a meaning. Like the letter Aleph means master or teacher. Aleph, master or teacher. So this verse sort of goes along with that. And the Israelites had a great idea of what all of these letters meant, more than we could bring out today. They used them, and they knew what they had a close relationship with these words. But here it says, "Fret not thyself." You know, this has got to do with teaching. They shall be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Baith in verse 3 means house, like Beth Israel, house of Israel. Anywhere you see Beth starting, it's the house of that. There's quite a few of those if you look that up. But under his house, it says, "Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart." So, this has to do with having a home. Dwell in the land. So shalt thou dwell in the land. Gimel, that has to do with a reward. If you look that up, it'll say reward and punishment, perhaps, but I think it has more to do with rewards and lack of rewards. Not so much punishment, but rewards for doing his will, if you will. But it says, "Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday." So that speaks of a reward there. He will bring forth thy righteousness as the light. And then that's all I'm going to say on that subject, because we've got quite a bit to cover here. But in verse 7, I'm going to keep reading. "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil, for evildoers shall be cut off. But those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be." So thou shalt consider his place. This is something you tell your children. You say, do you want to turn out like that and not have any rewards of and so forth like that? This is something that we diligently consider. And then, "Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth." This, of course, Christ quoted in Matthew 5:5, where we call the Beatitudes, what's called the Beatitudes. And that has to do with jubilation, so to speak, the Beatitudes. "But the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace." So this is the hope of Israel, to inherit the land. And we have a hope. And this word inheritance occurs 6 times in the last 7 books, only in Ephesians and Colossians. Let's start in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 11. I want to compare these verses, we're going to see all three of these words, inheritance, possession, and promise, in this passage we're about to read. But in verse 11 it says, "In whom also we Let's go back. I'm going to go back to verse 10 here. That in the dispensation of fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. Now, I've said this in just for consideration, but perhaps heaven is us. The things in heaven has to do with us. The things in earth has to do with Israel. And I know there's other viewpoints on those, and those need to be brought out as well. But this is a suggestion here. And that's where, when we get to 11, it says, in whom also we, that is who are of the heavenly things, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated. So we were predestinated to have this inheritance. And it goes along with that thought that we were chosen to have this knowledge given to us, according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. And Oscar always added here, as head, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ as head. Because we trusted in Christ when we accepted John 3:16 and became a living being for eternal life. In whom, and this is verse 13 of Ephesians chapter 1, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Now, here's this word promise in verse 13. We're going to come back to that. And in the note here, remember, I think there's an appendix on it, and there's also a book that talks about the giver and his gifts. Bullinger here, or the Companion Bible here, says that this promise is the gift, not the giver. If you look at the verse, it says that Holy Spirit of promise. It looks like the giver. The Holy Spirit is being the giver here. But he goes into the Greek a little bit there and says, no, this is the gift. We have been given this gift, this Holy Spirit of promise. And then in verse 14, he puts in parentheses. In fact, he says, if you take the parentheses, it goes always with that Holy Spirit of promise unto the praise of his glory. That's the last line in verse 14. Let's read verse 14. We have two words in here. We have both inheritance and we have possession in this same verse, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Now, this word inheritance is the word klerao, and it's Strong's 2820, number 2820. So here of the four places in Ephesians that the word inheritance occurs, we've already seen two of them. Verse 11, in whom we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated. We obtained it, and it's a reward. We'll see that in a minute. Which is the, and in verse 14, which is the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession. And in verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance and the saints, where he sits on the right hand of God, far above all, and he is, and he has his headship over the church, which is his body. So here we have three places where we see this word kleraō already in Ephesians, in just those verses right there. But I will go ahead and read this since we're here. I want to read verses 15 on down now. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the acknowledgement of him, the eyes of your understanding being lightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Okay, so those are three, and then 5:5 of Ephesians is the fourth. And we're just going to go through it, even if it doesn't particularly apply to the subject here. For here it says, for this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, nor an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Now, they didn't lose their salvation, but we talked about the parable of the wayward son who spent his inheritance. And this is perhaps an analogy that we can have this possession. We can go in and possess our possessions, or we can spend our inheritance and not have anything. Now, Oscar would say that nothing in the heavenly places, nothing close, anything related to sin can come close to surviving there in the light. The light is too much. You couldn't survive anywhere in the heavenly places. No evil. Satan can't be there either. His realm can't be there. His realm is the earth. Okay, so, but here we talk about the lack of a reward. Not of so much of punishment, but the lack of a reward. Okay, so that is four of the places. Colossians 1:12 is the next. It says, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light, in the ton hagion, the holiest of all. And this goes along with Ephesians 1:18 that we just read. It's a sister verse. Ephesians and Colossians are sister books. And he did it two times to confirm. When he first brought out the mystery, he gave it two times in Ephesians and Colossians. And I want to read a verse about that. It's in, see if I can find it here real quick. It's in Genesis 41:32, and it says, for that, and here's Joseph talking to Pharaoh, and he says, and for that the dream was doubled unto Pharaoh twice, it is because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. So here we have it was given to Pharaoh two times, and God did that on purpose to establish it. And if you look in the note, there's four other places where we have this same idea going on, where he did it twice. And we don't have time to go on that, but I'm talking about Ephesians and Colossians. He said it twice to confirm his word. So that's what we have here. But in Colossians 1:12, let me get back to that now. It says, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. So that again is a sister verse, and there's many sister verses in Colossians and Ephesians. And I'll go ahead and read verse 13. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. And here I'll take Alan's definition of this. And when we talk about the power of darkness, we'll say, and this goes all the way back to before age times, where sin started, it has to do with keeping knowledge from you. We've already got the knowledge now, and we're translated from this power of darkness. We already see in past tense in verse 12, which hath, he hath made us meet. He's made us capable, or made us where we can be partakers of this inheritance. But the power of darkness has to do with Satan keeping this knowledge from us then. So then the final one would be in Colossians 3:24. We'll read that one. It says, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. So we want to keep in mind the reward also in our daily walk. We want to keep this in mind also. Okay, so that's thoughts on the inheritance. Here we compare us to them, and they go in to inherit the land, and we go in to inherit the heavenly places, the heavenly realms, which is far above all. The next category is possession, which has to do with them possessing the land as part of their identity. Now, one thing I'll say about comparing scriptures is, now, the mystery, obviously, it's not in the Old Testament. We know that. It's only in Paul's last seven books. So it's not in the Old Testament. However, with the Old Testament, we can understand the mystery. With the knowledge of all the books that came before those last seven books, we get better grounded and we get to know the Lord better and his way of dealing. So in a way, we can shed light on the mystery. Also, to compare things, now, an English teacher once told me, if you know two languages, say Spanish and English, you will understand the grammar behind both of them. You'll understand English grammar better, and you'll understand Spanish grammar better. Like they say Casablanca, house white, and we say White House. We reverse it, and the grammar gets confusing to us if we only know one language. But ask anyone who knows two languages, and they can tell you that. Yeah, I understand the grammar a lot better now. But so the same thing. We'll understand the Old Testament better, and we'll understand the mystery better. As we consider these thoughts, as we dwell on these thoughts that the Lord has laid down for us. Now, let's turn to Joshua chapter 1, and I'm not going to go to 9 this time, verse 9, as I've done that about 5 times already. We're going to graduate to verse 10, and we're going to read all the way through 15, Joshua 1, 10, let me find it here, 1, 10 to 15, however, I am going to read it again. Verse 9, have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Then in verse 10, then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the host, and command the people, saying, prepare you victuals, for within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you Israel, that the Lord your God giveth you, only you Israel, to possess it. So here God gave Israel this one. God allotted all lands to all people, though. We're going to see that later. All lands. Why did he pick this one land for Israel, his chosen people, and they're right in the middle of Asia, Africa, and Europe? For any one of those to go to the other, they have to go through Israel. And we saw when Josiah died, that's what happened. Egypt went up, had to get to fight Babylon, which was actually Nebuchadnezzar's father at that time, but he had to come up and come through Israel. And as a result, Josiah got in the conflict and he was killed there, unfortunately. But in verse 12, let me see. Verse 12 of Joshua 1, and to the Reubenites and the Gadites and to the half-tribe of Manasseh spake Joshua, saying, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God hath given you rest and hath given you this land. So the Reubenites and the Gadites were on the east side of Jordan, and they took that land. But here Moses is, Joshua is telling him that you're going to also fight for us on the west side of the Jordan also. After we get all that taken care of, though, you can go back home to your women and children. Verse 14, your wives, your little ones, your cattle. By the way, cattle on the east side of Jordan in the land of Bashan was the great pasture land where the best cattle in Israel was. Cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side Jordan. But ye shall pass before your brethren armed, all mighty men of valor, and help them until the Lord hath given your brethren rest. That's what we're looking for. Because we don't have a possession here on earth. Our possession is in the heavenly places. But that's what we're looking for. That also has given your brethren rest, and he hath given you, and they also have possessed the land which the Lord your God giveth them. Then ye shall return unto the land of your possession and enjoy it, which Moses, the Lord's servant, gave you on this side Jordan toward the sun rising. So here we see them going in to possess their possession, you might say. Here's the word peripoiesis, number 4047. And that, let's see, that only occurs one time. That's, we already read the verse, Ephesians 1:14, but I'm going to turn to it real quick. It says, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchase possession, which is the earnest of our inheritance, the Holy Spirit is, this is our gift, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of His glory. So here we see this word, the only time this word occurs in His last seven books. It does occur four other places, if you look at the companion note. There's four other places if you want to look up that word peripoiesis. Okay, now in Judges 18, let's turn over to Judges 18, 1. It says, in those days, and this is towards the end of the Judges. I want to make a little point here, though. In those days, there no king in Israel, and in those days the tribe of the Danites sought them an inheritance to dwell in. For unto that day all their inheritance had not fallen unto them among the tribes of Israel. Now, go back to 17:1. There was a man of Mount Ephraim whose name was Micah. Okay? Now I'm going to go back to verse 31 of 16. Okay? Then his brethren and all the house of his father, I know I'm making this confusing, but hold on a second. Then his brethren and all the house of his father came down and took him. This is talking about Samson. And brought him up and buried him between Zorah and Eshtaol in the burying place of Manoah, his father. And he judged Israel 20 years. That line right there ended the book of Judges, chronologically speaking. However, Samson was not the last judge. There was Eli and actually Samuel. However, here in the book of Judges, this ends the chronological account of the judges. Starting in verse 17:1, we can call that Appendix 1, because that happened early on in the 450 years. We see Potiphar mentioned. And then also, if you go to verse chapter 19, Appendix 2 begins. So these are out of sequence chronologically. I just wanted to make that point, though. But now back to this idea, though. Now we go to Judges 2, Judges chapter 2 and verse 1. And this, I'm following up on what we read before. First, Israel was given commands to do. But here we see how did they come in and possess the land. Let's look at Judges chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. It says, "And an angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Bochim." Bochim. C-H in Hebrew is cha. It's a deeper sound in the guttural sound. And there is no cha sound in Hebrew. However, the word cherubim, that's anglicized. And if you look it up in Strong's, it would be more of a cherubim. But, of course, those things are not that important. I just brought that out. We can call it cherubim. It's the same word. It's still the same word. Came up from Gilgal to Bochim, weepers. That word means weepers. And remember those who would weep and gnash their teeth to Bochim and said, "I made you to go up out of Egypt and have brought you unto the land which I swear unto your fathers. And I said, I will never break my covenant with you." Here he's talking to Israel of what they didn't do. "And you shall make no league with the inheritance of this land." That's a true saying of all dispensations. This dispensation, every dispensation. "You shall make no league with the inhabitants of this land." We have nothing to do with the things of the earth. "Ye shall throw down their altars, but ye have not obeyed my voice. Why have ye done this? Wherefore I also said, I will not drive them out from before you, but they shall be as thorns in your sides, and their gods shall be a snare unto you. And it came to pass, when the angel of the Lord spake these words unto all the children of Israel, that the people lifted up their voice and wept. And they called the name of that place Bochim, weepers. And they sacrificed there unto the Lord." So, the first generation of the 40 years, they were fighters. they were skilled in the way of fighting. And that generation kind of died away, and kind of like the generation after World War II. I was fortunate to be raised in the early 50s, and boy, did I take a lot for granted in how great life was in America in those days. But yeah, those were the early 50s. Man, those were the time, that was the time to be in this country. But here we have, now we go to Luke 13, verse 23, and we're going to read through verse 28, Luke 13. Here's the Lord talking. It says, "Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, Strive to enter in at the strait gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able." When once the master of the house has risen up and hath shut to the door, and ye begin to stand without and knock at the door, saying, "Lord, Lord, open unto us," and he shall answer and say unto you, "I know you not whence ye are." Then shall ye begin to say, "We have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets." But he shall say, "I tell you, I know you not whence ye are, depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out." What a thing. What a thing that would be. A couple of times I tried to get on the internet, because I was going to hear a message, and no one was there, and I'm thinking, boy, I wonder if the manifestation has come, and the Lord has taken all those people away, and here I am left on earth. That would be a time for weeping and gnashing. Okay, then, so that's their possession. And we have similar things for us today to get into this possession. We have a comparison here also that we have to put on the full armor of God and look to Him. We have to look up to Him. Keep our mind on things above, not on things on the earth. And the third category we come to here is called promise. And that's the word epangelia. Epangelia. We have four places. That's Strong's 1860. We have four places. Again, we go to Ephesians 1:13 for the third time. That's the first place. So then, whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. So that's one place the word promise occurs. Next place is in 2:12 of Ephesians. Says that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Speaking to Gentiles, because in 11 he says, "Wherefore remember that ye being in past time Gentiles," or non-Jews, or non-Israelites, "that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands." So these are the Gentiles that were strangers from this covenant. Now they're no longer strangers from these covenants of promise. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made near by the blood of Christ. So we're going to read here, that's the nations before, and now let's read the nations after. That we see that in 3:6, Ephesians 3:6. He says that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs, and of the same bodies, and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. So you could say this is the Gentiles after. You can say verse 12 is the Gentiles before. You were before having no hope without God, but now in verse 6, that we're fellow heirs. Gentiles are fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Then we have in verse, chapter 6, in verse 2, says in verse 1 also, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. So this doesn't apply to the mystery, but it does tell us that we are to compare things in the Old Testament. Here Paul did. He compared what we have today with the first commandment with promise. Okay, so this time I read this dispensation first. Now we'll go back and talk about Israel and their conditional promise. Israel's conditional promise. First, though, let's start at Deuteronomy chapter 11. And Deuteronomy chapter 11, first we'll read verse 1. And if I've got time, I'm running out of time. I was going to make a quick note here. I'm going to pass over, but we'll go ahead and read this. Let me see. 11:1. Therefore, thou shalt love the Lord thy God and keep his charge and his statutes and his judgments and his commandments always. Down in verse 8. Therefore shall ye keep all the commandments which I command you this day. That's Deuteronomy 11:8. That ye may be strong and go in and possess the land whither ye go to possess it, and that ye may prolong your days in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give unto them and to their seed, a land that floweth with milk and honey. For the land whither thou goest in to possess it is not as the land of Egypt, from whence ye came out, where thou sowest thy seed and waterest it with thy foot as a garden of herbs. Here in verse 10 he's saying, this is a great land. This land you're going in is great. This is something we can say too. This is a great hope we have. And in verse 11, but the land whither ye go in to possess it is a land of hills and valleys, and drinketh water of the rain of heaven. A land which the Lord thy God careth for, the eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it. Think about that. The eyes, the Lord thy God are always upon it. The eyes of the Lord thy God. How about that? From the beginning of the year even unto the end of the year. Wow. So this is what they were going to possess. This is their promise. And then now let's go to verse 8. Oh, wait, we did that, 8. Now let's go to, where was I? 12. Okay, so that's the point then, that they were going to the land. And this chapter 10 ends with Moses gave a synopsis of their history all the way up to that point. And then in 11, it starts a different subject. It ended his synopsis there in 10:22. But now he's telling them, let's go in and possess our possessions. So that's pretty much it. There's the three categories. And let me see something here. Okay, he's got that. Okay, now there's one other point I'd like to bring out. And let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 8. Or another point I'd like to bring out about how we can compare with the Old Testament. says in 32:8, when the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. When the Most High divided the nations their inheritance, everybody was told where to go. And the Edomites, they got their land. Israel was not to touch it. Moab and the two sons of Lot, you know, Moab and Ammon, you can't have that land. No, that's allotted to them. The house you live in today, that's not really your land. You say you own it. Do you own your house? Well, I guess you can say you own the house. The land, you're borrowing that. Before you were here, there was someone else most likely on that same land. But I think God even chooses that. Lord, do you want me to stay in Phoenix? And it's so hot here, Lord. By the way, yesterday was a nice day here after all this 118 degree heat. It actually was pretty pleasant here, believe it or not. If you like Detroit weather, if you like it overcast. Okay, the point here is the earth is the Lord's. Let's go to Exodus 9:27. I'm almost done. Exodus 9:27. Did I write that right? Exodus 9:27. Yeah. And Pharaoh sent and called for Moses and Aaron and said unto them, I have sinned this time. The Lord is righteous, and I and my people are wicked. He's a politician. He said anything Moses wanted to hear. Entreat the Lord, verse 28, for it is enough. That there be no more mighty thunderings and hail, and I will let you go, and ye shall stay no longer. And Moses said unto him, as soon as I am gone out of the city, I will spread abroad my hands unto the Lord, and the thunder shall cease, neither shall there be any more hail, that thou mayest know how that the earth is the Lord's. That's another place. Deuteronomy 10, verse 11 through 14. Let's see if I wrote that one right. I might not have written that one right. Let's go down to Psalms 24. Psalms 24, verse 1 to 3. And it says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein, for he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? So, basically, we have a hope which is not on earth, but we dwell here temporarily, and we have an anticipation. The word hope, the word in the Greek hope has to do with an anticipation, that we actually anticipate this thing. It's not just something empty hope. So why Israel? Why did they have to go through all of this with all of the other nations? Well, why do we? Why do we today have to go through all of this and dealings with the world and so on? There's a comparison there. But on this subject of, I'm going to close with one more thought here. This is an afterthought. Acts chapter 5, verse 40. Acts chapter 5, verse 40. Says, and to him, that is Gamaliel, if you read the context here, this is where Gamaliel spoke up for the cause of the Christians here. And to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. But this verse, they rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Now, I know a lot of you are, that these are not easy times for many of you. And these are tough times. And this is something to remember, though. It's like we're going through these times, but think about that. The Lord considered us worthy to actually to go through these things. So those are some comparisons with the church, which is his body, and the church, I guess you would call, of the previous dispensation. And with that, I'll close in a word of prayer. Thank you, Lord, our great Father, for all of the great words you've given us in your book. We pray that you'll enlighten our eyes, that we can get to know you better. We think of each one here, Lord, for those who are having problems, Lord. Touch them. Put your hand on them. Hide them under your wings. And you're going to come all through this. We're all going to come through this because of you, Lord. We're going to beat this thing just as they did there in Acts. And we pray as each one goes our own ways, Lord, just keep your hand on each one. We pray these things in your great name. Amen.